بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین محمد رسول الله صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وصحبہ وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we are living in a dynamic situation. Subhanallah, every single day there is news about this coronavirus, and obviously all of it is bad news. Here in America, state after state is locking down. New York is in the epicenter of it. They have moved the National Guard out. And so New York is going to be locked down. Connecticut is already locked down. Florida will get locked down from tomorrow. San Francisco is locked down. So this is happening, and across the country. We have lockdown situations in Italy, in South Korea, and in UK is getting there. Spain is locked down. Entire countries are locked down. And in that process, also we have news of people, despite all the warnings, people congregating, having weddings, having birthday celebrations. And then they put it on Twitter as well. So you have pictures of politicians on the one hand telling people to maintain social distance, and then pictures of birthday celebrations and pictures of weddings where they are hugging each other, where they are sitting right next to each other, you know, with like 2 inches apart. So we have this as well. We have foolishness. So the whole point is that it seems somewhere that at some level, we don't want to believe it. Now, this is very typical response to disaster. We call it in psychology, we call it the SARA process, S-A-R-A-H. It is S-A, so shock. First is shock. Two is anger. So first is shock, in the sense that it immediately there is denial. There's shock. My God, this happened. How did this happen? How did this microbe get here? Second one is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. So second one is A, which is anger, saying how could it happen? I mean, why did it happen to me? Who did it? And we look for you know, someone to blame. So second is anger. The third one is R, which is resistance, which is denial, saying nobody, it won't happen to us. The whole world, it will happen to the whole world, but somehow, I mean, there's no logic behind it. Somehow, I will be saved. It won't happen to me, or it won't happen to my family. It won't happen to my country, right? So we are seeing this. We are seeing these responses these reactions globally. S-A-R. Then A, the S-A-R-A, that A is acceptance. So at some point you say, no, this is real. This will happen. This can happen to me. This can happen to my family. And sometimes that acceptance comes after it happens. So acceptance, and then H is help. So therefore, what must I do? Let me seek help. Let me check what I must do. So S-A-R-A-H. Remember, this is called the SARA process. We use this also when I teach people about feedback, and especially about receiving or giving and receiving adverse or critical feedback. We talk about the SARA process, because this is how people react to all bad news. Shock, anger, resistance, and then acceptance and help. Now, in this process, the first three will happen. Shock, anger, and resistance will happen. You can't bulldoze them. You can't wish them away. You can't ignore them. But the key is, the shorter time we spend in these three things, which is shock, anger, and resistance, the quicker we come to acceptance and help, the bigger advantage we have in actually dealing with that negative situation. So in adverse or critical feedback, we say the sooner you get over this thing of shock, my God, you know, me? How can you say that to me? Anger, who the hell are you? Resistance, no, this is rubbish, this is nonsense. You are motivated, you are blaming me, and this is lies. And then we come to the acceptance, saying, you know what? This is not the first person who told me. There are about 10 other people have told me the same thing. So maybe it's there. Maybe I need to accept this and then help. All right, so now what do I do? Teach me, please, correct me, teach me. So the sooner we come to the acceptance and help, the better and the faster we will reach a solution. Now, in terms of this coronavirus, I think we have gone a long way ahead. We have, as I said, a lot of bad news, and this bad news seems to be multiplying, and I think it will multiply. But of course, we also have good news in that at a more individual level, we have the frontline soldiers of this are the health care professionals, doctors, nurses, hospitalists, all the people in the healthcare business, who have put, literally they've put their own lives on the line. Alhamdulillah, I have my own family members who are in that, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection for them and for all health workers everywhere in the world to be protected from this. May Allah, I'm just mentioning that I have my own family members because Alhamdulillah, I am very happy that we are not only receiving care, we are also giving care. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I myself volunteered for it, but I think, I don't know, I mean, no, there's no response because maybe I'm too long in the tooth, to use a horsey expression. Allah knows best. But anyway, the point I'm making is that the frontline people are the healthcare workers. So what must we do? We must make dua for them. Please understand this. It's very important for us to make dua for them because we are the people who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know how to access Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world to do good for others and to make dua for others. Now, many times in this process, I have seen people making dua and saying, oh Allah, help the Muslim countries, Biladul Muslimin, help the Muslim countries, help the Muslims. Nothing wrong with saying that, but don't restrict your dua to the Muslims, because this is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is against the sunnah of all the Anbiya alayhimu salam. The Anbiya alayhimu salam made dua for everybody, including the people who were not Muslim. When people came to Nuh alayhi salam, when they had difficulties, who was he making dua for? Relief for who? For the people who were against him, who didn't listen to him. When the nine plagues came on the people of Egypt, on the Egyptians, and they came to Musa alayhi salam, who was he making dua for? For the Egyptians, for the Pharaonic people, for them to get relief. People came to, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, who was he making dua for? When the Quraysh, imagine this, in the battle of Uhud, we have this beautiful example of the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We have sent you as nothing except mercy for all creatures, for the alameen, for the worlds. One of the finest examples is that of his conduct, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the battle of Uhud. When he was injured, when the man threw the rock at him, and it injured his blessed face, he was hit in the head, he had concussion, he fell down from that, links of his facial armor went into his cheek, his teeth were broken, the links got embedded in his cheek and they had to be pulled out. He was bleeding copiously because all these facial wounds and so on, they bleed very, very much. His daughter Fatima radhiyallahu anha applied a dressing on his face. He didn't lose consciousness, but he was concussed. So, for a while, he was kind of not completely unconscious, but partially conscious. People thought he had died. The Sahaba, they carried him up the side of the mountain into a depression where he was safe. And then when he gained full consciousness, they said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua against these people. They said, you have done nothing to them. You have not harmed them. You have done nothing. You are here. You are preaching your religion. You are practicing your religion. These people come all the way from Makkah and they attack you. and they injure you. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua against these people. Curse them, make dua against them, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his azab and his punishment on these people. Rasulullah sat up, he raised his hands. Now imagine that scene, put yourself there. Here the Sahaba have asked the Prophet to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should destroy their enemies. And the Prophet ﷺ listened to them and he sat up and he raised his hands and he is about to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the scene. Imagine what must be happening. Imagine what you could see. What must the Sahaba have been thinking when they are looking at Rasulullah ﷺ raising his hands? What must the malaika, what must the angels who were in the atmosphere, what must they have been thinking? It's almost like the whole world just stopped breathing, waiting in suspense to see what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say. And then what does he say? He said, Rabbi ighfir, he said, O Allah, forgive them. Rabbi ighfir warham. No, he's, Allahumma ighfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. He said, O Allah, forgive my people, for they do not know what they do. He makes this dua. He said, Oh Allah, forgive them. These are the people who injured him. The Sahabas are telling him, curse them. And he's making dua for their forgiveness. Whose forgiveness? His enemies, people who actually attacked him. Today we make dua and we say, Oh Allah, help the Muslims, cure the Muslims, save the Muslims. My brothers and sisters, please don't make duas like this. Ask for help and saving and protection for everybody. SubhanAllah, if you don't make this dua, who is going to make this dua? Tell me. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember one thing. What is happening today is the mashiat of Allah. This is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nobody can say with certainty that this is the azab of Allah or whether it's an ibtila, which means that it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether something is an azab, punishment, or whether it's a test depends on the individual who is affected by it. Alhamdulillah, people who are pious are also affected by difficulties, by calamities. For them, it is an ibtila, it is a test for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises their darajat. For other people, it can be a punishment, but even the punishment is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So that they will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Allah used the word azab, he said punishment. But Allah said the small punishment before the big punishment, so that they turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it a mercy? Because if you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the small punishment, you will be saved from the big punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending this, whether it's a punishment or it's a test, in both situations, in both cases, it is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And therefore, one of the first things that we must do is we must make dua for everybody. Specifically, say this in your du'as and say, Allah save everyone from this coronavirus, whoever they might be, wherever they might be, whichever race, whichever country, whichever religion. Oh Allah, we make, as Muslims, we make du'as because we are the inheritors of the work of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. So therefore, we follow the sunnah of the Anbiya, and the sunnah of the Anbiya was to be a means of rahmah and a means of mercy for all of humankind. And therefore, that is the dua we should make. I remind you and myself, let us be generous in our hearts. Let us have mercy in our hearts. Don't be stingy with your dua, for God's sake. Even if your dua cannot come out, what worth are you? Why are you on this, on the face of this earth? If you are as a Muslim, if you can't even make dua for somebody, why are you here? What is your masraf? Why do you even exist? Who cares whether you live or die? Because if you can't even make dua, if your mind and your heart is so bakhil and so stingy and so miserly that even dua you cannot make, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, then your dua is not necessary. We don't need your dua. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Make dua, be generous with your dua. You are asking Rabbul Alameen, whose rahmah completely covers his anger, and he said it, I am not saying it, on his behalf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, I, in the next reminder, I will talk a little bit more about this, but you are addressing the one
about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his beloved wife, our mother Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, to say, Allahumma innaka afuun kareem tuhibbul afu fa'fu anni. We are addressing the one who loves to forgive. So ask dua for everybody. That is why we exist. Fulfill our purpose of existence. جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك.